This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on how nothing is easy about organizing unions in Myanmar. Not surprisingly, the more people we visit, the more we peel the onion and come closer to understanding the full challenges for workers and their unions in organizing in Burma. Over our first 3 days of meetings, for example, when talking to labor sources, we have heard that the union density was first 2%, or roughly 250,000 members, and then later it was 0.8%, or about 100,000 members in the 13 million person workforce. And now, more recently, we find or hear that it's only half of 1%, or about 60,000 members, from yet a third source. The surest consensus we can find is that in the brief time since the 2012 Labor Code, unions have made progress, but have a long way to go over a hard road. On Sunday, workers finally have a day off from what we soon learned was 11-hour days of work, 6 days a week. We met with 50 of them in a training center run by the Federation of Trade Unions of Burma, FTUB, in the industrial zone where there are perhaps 800 factories employing tens of thousands of workers. Many of this very young workforce of women, largely women, also lived in worker dormitories near where they work, so having a chance to talk union, gain skills, and strategize about how to win wage increases was worth some time on their day off. Hardly a year before, the FTUB had been classified by the government as a terrorist organization. But since the new labor code was enacted, they were now registered and had gained about 16,600 members, half of them in farmers' locals and the other half spread out in a half dozen sectors, the largest of which was the industrial area, where they had more than 5,500 members, with 1,300 alone in the New Age shoe factory, where many of the women with us now worked. Dues were 200 CAD, or about 20 cents per month, and the organizing was largely by member referrals and by the executive committee members of the locals, including those of the New Age Shoe Board, all of whom had been fired for their success and effectiveness. Most of the issues were about wages. Myanmar is known to have the lowest garment worker wages in the world. Most of the employers are Korean and Taiwanese subcontractors for some of the biggest companies anywhere. There's still no minimum wage in Myanmar. Some workers told us of making $7 per month as security workers or $18 a month as factory workers. The union has won base wages in some organizing drives and strikes of 35,000 CAD or about $35 per month, which with overtime and bonuses for perfect attendance can reach 70 or 80,000 CAD. The union is proposing a minimum wage of 80,000 CAD for 8 hours as base wages. Discrimination in hiring seems everywhere. These are the NFL players of the industrial class. They come into the factories with half an education from the Mandalay Delta and elsewhere in the countryside at 13 years of age, and it's a miracle if they're still able to hang on by 35. Their lives are bent to the wheel. They want the overtime since most spend the money home. Contacts are made by referrals from other members. A new FTUB strategy around targeting puts their activists at tea shops where they want to organize, making contacts until they have a committee of 7 or 8 and can begin secretly forming a union with as few as 13 by their constitution. Like unions everywhere, 10% may be enough by law, but they were clear they waited for a majority to make their move. Strikes were regular and effective. All hands, in fact, were raised when I asked who had been on strike, but the union but is now limited by the government to a maximum of strikes for only 5 days. Later, as the rain poured outside in the last of the rainy season, we met several kilometers away with the WSLB, the Worker Solidarity League of Burma, and listened to each of the women there introduce themselves. So many of the stories echoed that told us earlier by a young woman who is now 23 and had already worked in a factory for 10 years, who was virtually in tears as she talked to us about how much she wished she could also be educated as well. These women were machine parts. Their organizations were giving them voice, and their voices were eager and demanding. But the new law and the limited resources makes the task before them both essential and daunting. This is Wade Rathke for questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.